searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Because unlike so many others, we are not enduring extreme heat. But we're grateful to God that wherever we are, his presence is with us. So I say good morning to you all who are out there. Let us open in prayer as we prepare to go to school. Father, this morning we praise and thank you for being the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who knows us. And you know right where each one of us are today. We want you to be exalted in this lesson. We want to know more and more about you, who you are, how you do, and we want to be able to truly be able to say that God is in control, not as cliche, not as just some saying, but knowing and understanding that you have got this thing all lined up and it is in your hands. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning,
Amen.
People.
Good morning.
Y'all ready to go to school today?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we are.
All right. Hopefully you have the new sheet because we only had a few questions left on the previous sheet. So if you don't have it, take a few minutes to go onto the website or check your email. Pastor sent them out earlier this week. And you'll notice that some of these questions are going to sound redundant, but I'm going to give you more detail when we get to that second sheet. So with that, we have been in God is in control, what we believe, not knowing what, but why we believe it. Why do we believe God is in control? That God has a plan, and that God's plan is being executed. And even though man has plans in the midst of it, God's plan always supersedes what man intended. And so we're looking at how what God intended from the beginning, that God created this family, this people that he wanted to reign and rule with, his kingdom. And under that, we got nations came from it, where there are groups of people, and you have your definitions, who are under the same common descent, history, culture, language, inhabiting a particular region or place. You get nations. And we know that God is the one who established the boundaries of the nations, according to Acts chapter 17. And then we got something that came from that. Because evil and sin had permeated the earth, we get empires, where we get these nations that seek to rule over other nations and to exert control over these nations, to dominate these nations. And they do it through separations and assimilations. In other words, they divide the nations. As we saw, the Assyrian kingdom took people that were in the northern kingdom, Israel, and they moved them out, and they moved in Sumerians into the region. And so they mixed the people up, and to keep them from coming together is one of the reasons why they do that. And so that means they mixed up the languages, they mixed up the cultures, they intertwine nations. And it's a form of domination when they do that. But the beautiful part is when people learn that in those mixtures that they can come together and form a new nation. Thus, we have the United States of America. Anyway, keep going. So empires. And so we've been looking at the world empires. We looked at the Egyptians, followed by the Assyrians, and now we've been looking in the book of Daniel at the Babylonian Empire. So, who had a dream according to Daniel chapter 2?
Nebuchadnezzar,
the king of Babylon. And what did he dream about?
A statue.
About the statue. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. All right. And we know the statue was formed out of different materials. What was the head formed out of?
Gold.
And who did the Lord reveal that was representing?
Daniel.
Babylon.
Right? The Babylon and specifically Babylon under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. All right. And then we know the next part was
silver.
What was the next? Silver. All right, and then we know the next metal or material is
bronze,
and then we get to the next material that is
iron, clay, and
iron, and then iron. The feet of the statue is iron mixed with
clay.
All right, so picking back up where we left off. We left off on question number 10, but I'm going to go back to question number 9. Somebody read Daniel chapter 2 and verses 44 and 45 for us.
During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. Crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, so not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, brass, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what would happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain.
All right, thank you very much. So we know from the dream that he had that there was a great stone not made by human hands that breaks off and that hits the feet of clay and iron and destroys the whole statue. And not just destroys it, it pulverizes it. It turns it into dust. And that this kingdom, according to the vision, is going to be where is this kingdom going to be set up?
In heaven?
Let's think about it. The rock that made with human hands comes and hits this statue. So it comes
the
down
whole
to where, yes, the whole world. This kingdom is going to be set up in the midst of all these empires. This kingdom is going to be set up, and it's going to destroy and topple all these empires. So it's not in heaven. It's in the world that this kingdom is coming into. See where we're going?
Yeah.
All right. And then what is specific about this kingdom besides the fact that it'll crush? It's going to do what to all of earthly kingdoms?
It will crush all the kingdoms into nothing, and it'll stand forever.
So it's an eternal kingdom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And it, when it says it'll endure forever, so this is an eternal kingdom. And we know somebody shared with us who that rock is last week. Who is the rock?
Jesus.
All right. And whose kingdom is going to destroy all the kingdoms of the
Jesus.
Yeah, the kingdom of our Lord. Remember our memory verse and our key verse at the top. The kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah will reign forever and ever. All right. So now let's get into something that I just found intriguing. Daniel chapter 2, we read. Somebody pick up and read verses 46 through 49, and we'll answer question 10.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar threw himself down before Daniel and worshipped him, and he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. The king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the greatest of all gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret." Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men.
All right. Read verse 49.
49, okay. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remain in the king's court.
All right. So who are these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What are their, let's see, this is a bonus question. Anybody remember their Hebrew names?
Oh. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
So Daniel. Hey, all right now. Eric gets the key fob. He gets the key fob. Okay. We don't have a car. But
okay.
It's all right. But yes. And it's something how, you know, in this, you know, remember Daniel's name was changed too to Belteshazzar, I think. Or,
Belshazzar.
And so mm-hmm. But yet he's referred to as Daniel throughout the text. But the three of his boys, so we it's good to know their Hebrew names. And it's just a little side note. Part of this assimilation was, if we were doing a study on Daniel, I would really go deeper into it. Part of assimilating these people, remember, they took the best and the brightest. They took the royal line from Judah and brought them to Babylon. And so part of assimilating them into Babylonian culture was to give them names that honored their gods. Because Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, these are all names that mirror the god that they worshiped. El, God. So So their Hebrew names identified them with Yahweh. But when they moved them to Babylon, they changed their names to honor Baal and Marduk, their gods that they worshipped. Because that's what you do when you're an empire. You make people assimilate into your culture. All right. So what was the king's response? What did he do when Daniel gave this interpretation? Because he did not only give the interpretation, he also had to be able to tell what?
The dream.
What?
The dream. He had to tell the dream. Because Nebuchadnezzar was looking to kill some folks, because obviously, how do you tell people, I need you to interpret my dream, but I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. You got to tell me.
Uh-huh.
That's a setup. So he was not in a good mood, apparently. All right. So what did he do? What did Nebuchadnezzar do?
He fell face down and worshiped Daniel.
And this was out of respect for the fact that Daniel was able to do what? What did he say about Daniel in verse 47?
The king said to Daniel that truly your God is greatest, the greatest of gods. The Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, but you have been able to, to reveal this secret.
Yes.
The king, yeah.
So even though he
fell was the greatest God of all gods, is what he was saying. Your God can do anything.
Your God is God, is the top God.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed in their multiple gods, and then they would elevate, so it wasn't that these were godless people. They believed in gods, but they realized and recognized that Daniel's God was greater than all the gods of the other magicians and other mystics and people in the commune, in the kingdom. They realized Daniel's God is greater than theirs. All right. So what did he do for Daniel?
Gave him the robe, gave him some robe. Made him look fine.
He gave him a high position and a valuable gift.
So he promoted him.
Right.
He promoted him. So not only now he's not just somebody else in scripture. Got new clothes and a big promotion.
Joseph.
Yes. Joseph, remember? When he, and what did Joseph do for Pharaoh?
He interpreted the dream.
He interpreted the dream.
Oh. So we've seen this before, huh?
Yeah, partially.
Wow. So, and what was Joseph's position before he interpreted the dream? He was a what in Egypt?
He was a slave first,
and then he ended up in prison.
Okay.
So he went from slave to second in command in Egypt. And here we have Daniel. Daniel's been brought to Babylon as a what?
Slave.
And now he's being promoted to a high position, to a governor.
Yeah.
See the patterns? Okay.
Yeah.
Just little stuff that we should be able to, wow, we've seen this somewhere before. We've seen God do this somewhere before. So what do folks say now? Same God, then he'll do it.
He did it again.
All right. So now let's get to the funny part. This is what I found peculiar. What did Nebuchadnezzar get from this dream other than this statue? How did he interpret it in his own heart? Somebody read chapter 3, verse 1.
It reads as follows. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
All right. And So now, think about it. Daniel reveals the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Who's the head of gold?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Babylon.
Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, right? So
yes.
What did Nebuchadnezzar do?
Made a statue.
He made a whole statue of gold.
Yeah.
Somebody else gets the irony of this too, right?
Yeah.
He just got to
the head. I ain't just the head, I'm the whole statue.
That's like an idol.
Straight up an idol.
Yeah. I'm like,
and we should be very familiar with the story of chapter 3, because what did he want people to do? He wanted people to bow down and do what?
And worship.
But who just got to bowing down to Daniel because their God is God?
He did.
Nebuchadnezzar. He did. So that was short-lived.
So we can be kind of convinced that he respected Daniel's God, but he really did not see him as God, as
right.
The true and living only God.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him some respect. He gave Daniel props, but then he figured, oh, he was talking about me, so I'm going to build a statue made of pure gold, and then I'm going to tell people to bow down and worship this statue when they hear the music play. What happened when those three Hebrew boys didn't bow down?
Well, go ahead.
He threw them in the furnace 10 times hotter.
Yeah. Because they refused to bow down to the statue.
Because
this is what the enemy does. He got Nebuchadnezzar to fall for the okey-doke. Hey, dude, this is talking about you. No. Because remember, the dream, the interpretation of the dream is when that rock hits the feet of this statue, the whole thing's coming down.
Yeah.
That means the head, the chest, the arms, the legs, the feet, the whole thing's getting destroyed. But that's what he got out of the dream. Build a statue to myself and make people worship me instead of the rock that destroys. It's not made by human hands. All right, so he built a statue to himself. Somebody read chapter 4, verses 28 through 31 to find out what happens to Nebuchadnezzar because of it.
Okay.
Chapter 4, 28 through 31.
Okay.
But all these things... This happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon, but by my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." Read 31.
Yes, please.
While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom."
Right.
All right. So now, Nebuchadnezzar builds the statue, goes through the whole thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then we know he looks in the fire and he sees four people walking around instead of three. And
he goes
into another repentance party. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's giving God lip service. But then we find he has a dream. And that's, again, we were doing a study of Daniel. We would go through all of this. And prayerfully, we will do a study of Daniel because I did a really good one earlier this year. But he has this dream. The dream gets interpreted, and in the dream, he's told what's going to happen. And then he still, I can't say what I want to say, he still acts arrogantly like he did with the statue. He built the statue. So now he's on the... He's walking around on his royal palace roof, and he's looking, and he says, who built this great Babylon?
Okay. Instead of it, okay.
Who did he say built it?
Oh, he knew what.
Now, somebody go back to chapter 2 and read verses 37 and 38.
Your Majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold.
Okay. So this is Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar that he's a great king. He's the head of gold. But where did his authority come from?
The God of heaven.
God of heaven. He's given him the edict, like the rest of humanity, to take dominion so that people can flourish. He's given him the power to make it so that people around him get to live out life the way God intended it in the beginning. God gave him the authority to do that. But what did Nebuchadnezzar do with that authority?
Abused it.
And how did he abuse it?
By putting himself on a pedestal.
Okay. Think now. Let's make a connection here. Or for those of you who are in my Sunday school and Saturday women's class, we have a remiss here.
Okay.
We have a remiss here. This is pointing back to something. Where are we pointing back to?
Okay, go back with your question again, please. What was your question?
Genesis.
Okay. When we read chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, God of heaven has given Nebuchadnezzar dominion and power to rule over mankind and the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air. The God of heaven gave him that. But as you said, Nebuchadnezzar decided he wants to be God. What does that remind us of?
Genesis.
Back in the garden.
Back in the garden, yep.
Yeah.
Because what was the desire for Adam and Eve? What did they desire?
To be like God.
So we see here, let me share a little bit about Babylon. Babylon was known for its hanging gardens, these lush, beautiful gardens around in the city where people would come and see. When we think gardens nowadays, we think of this little plot of land out in the back where we growing some tomatoes and maybe some collards or something like that. But in the beginning, God created a what put in the earth?
A garden.
And who was to dwell there? Man was to dwell there. And who were they to dwell with?
With God.
With God.
And in that garden was everything that man needed to flourish. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
All the trees you can eat.
Yes.
Everything they needed. There was rivers in that garden. So the rivers made that garden fruitful so that they could flourish, so they could thrive as God intended.
Yes.
God gave the same mandate to Nebuchadnezzar. But instead of making sure that everybody flourished, that God would be worshipped in that garden. Instead of him worshiping God, he turned to self-worship.
He worshiped himself.
All right. And now in chapter 4, Daniel doesn't tell him, the voice came from heaven. Chapter 4, back at those 28 through 31, the voice came from heaven and told him, that he said, I built Babylon. I did this. But in verse 31, it says, the words were still on his lips. That voice came from heaven. this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. And I like the way the NIV puts this. Your royal authority has been taken from you.
Yeah.
So the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, as Job said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God gave Nebuchadnezzar his authority, and God took it from him because God is in control. Even though Nebuchadnezzar has amassed this great empire of Babylon, this beautiful big city, and he's got control over nations around him. He's even defeated the Assyrians, the greatest empire up until that point. The Egyptians are subject to Nebuchadnezzar. But now God has removed his authority. So now let's go to chapter 5, and let's find out what happens to Babylon. Chapter 5, and this is a little bit of a read. Somebody read verses 18 through 30. And let me give you a setup before you read it. King Belshazzar is on the throne. King Belshazzar has a party, a banquet. So we know some of these banquets could last months. And during the banquets, he decides to bring out the gold vessels that we took from the temple in Judah, in Jerusalem. And we're going to party with the stuff that was set apart to God. And something strange happens to let you know they were definitely drinking hypnotic. Go ahead. Somebody read chapter 5, verses 18 through 30, and let's find out what happened.
Okay.
Your Majesty, the Most High God. Go ahead.
Stop being hard-headed.
Excuse me.
My Saturday class.
Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He made him so great that people of all races and nations and languages trembled before him in fear. He killed those he wanted to kill and spared those he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor and disgraced those he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and mind were puffed up with arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from the human society. He was given the mind of a wild animal. And he lived among the wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven until he learned the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. You are the successor of Belshazzar, and you know all of this, yet you have not humbled yourself. If you have proudly defiled the Lord of heaven and have had these cups from his temple brought before you, you and your nobles and your wives and concubines have been drinking wine from them while praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Gods that neither see nor hear nor know anything at all. But you have honored the God who gives you, but you have not honored the God who gives you your breath, gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. So God has sent this hand to write this message. This is the message that was written. Meeny, meeny, tekel, persin. This is what these words mean. Meeny means number. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weigh. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. And percent is divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robe, a gold chain was hung around his neck, and he was pronounced the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. So what happened to Babylon?
The power was given to the Medes.
It was
so
destroyed.
The great empire, it was destroyed. Yep. The great empire of Babylon is destroyed in one night.
Mm-hmm.
The royal line of Nebuchadnezzar is cut off. And look at verse 23. In it, it says that you praise the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron. Where have we seen that before?
Those pieces that make,
the statue. We've seen those pieces in the statue. And yeah, it does go on to say of wood, iron, wood and stone, clay. It's like you praise and worship this empire, but there's one greater than empire.
And it didn't belong to him.
So that night, the Medes and in the prophecy, the Medes and the Persians are getting your kingdom now.
Mm-hmm.
And that night it happened. That night. So
hold on,
God control here.
Is that like that Medes and Persian? Is that because of that? What was that? That was a foot that was of two piece, two cut type. The clay and stone.
Now you need to pull out
your
new sheet. Now you need to pull out your new sheet, because now I'm going to go back and we're going to talk some more detail about that statue and how that is a picture of the empires of the world. Okay? So everybody got part 3, Empires in Decline is the title on your sheet.
Okay. Right. All right.
So we're going to go back to the statue, and I'm going to give you some more detail.
All right.
Because the beautiful part about being in 2023 is that we can look back and see how this all played out. For further reading, I would encourage you to read the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapters 7 through 12 actually kind of tell even more detail to a degree, but it's in prophetic language. In other words, Daniel gets a vision before it happens. But historically, we know now what happened and how the words of God did not fall to the ground. Daniel chapter 2, verse 39, and when I say A, I mean the first sentence of that. Daniel chapter 2, verse 39. According to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, what type of empire would follow the head of gold? Okay, so 39A. But after, somebody read that first sentence.
But after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place.
Okay, so what was the metal of the kingdom after gold?
Silver.
Silver. Is silver more valuable than gold?
No.
It's inferior, isn't it, as far as our weights and measurements. All right. Now, what kingdom took out the Babylonians?
The Medes and the Persians.
The Medes and the Persians. So on your paper, you should write silver, inferior. What type of kingdom was it? What type of empire? Inferior. It's inferior.
Inferior.
And the name of that kingdom is the Medo-Persian Empire, or the Medes and the Persians, you can put. So it's the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay, let's see how my Bible scholars out there. What famous person in the Bible, book named after them, one of only two women, lived in the Medo-Persian Empire?
Ruth?
Esther.
Okay. Okay. Right. Esther takes place in the Medo-Persian Empire. Xerxes and Artaxerxes and the whole gang. Yes. So y'all read your Bible. Praise God. All right. So now, and that, actually I can answer question two for you. What empire toppled Babylon, Media, Persia? Okay.
So that was...
All right. So we got one and two answered. So inferior, silver and inferior for number one. Number two is Medio Persian Empire. Got it?
Number one was what? No, the number one was what?
Inferior, silver, inferior. Because it asked what type of empire would follow.
Inferior. Silver.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Number two is the Medio Persian Empire. All right, now question three. According to 2239B, chapter 2, verse 39, the second sentence in that, what is this next kingdom, the third kingdom, made of?
Bronze.
Oh, after the king, oh.
After the Medo-Persian Empire.
After the kingdom has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
After the kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom represented by bronze will rise to the rule of the world.
All right, stop right there. So what material is this third kingdom made of?
Bronze.
Bronze. Is bronze superior to silver?
No.
No.
Because we use bronze on all kinds of stuff. All right, and this kingdom is the kingdom of Greece. But you have to save some room because Greece has some parts to it. So, historically, Alexander the Great comes in and conquers the Medo-Persian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander the Great did not have heirs. He didn't have any children. He died, I think, in his early 20s. And so when he died, his kingdom got divided amongst four generals.
Okay.
And from his four generals, two empires rose to prominence. Okay, got to listen carefully because I got to spell them both in order for you to get them. The first one was the Ptolemies. It is spelled P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. It's not spelled the way it sounds, but it's the Ptolemy. The second part... the second kingdom that rose to prominence in that split off after Alexander the Great is the Seleucid. It is S-E-L-E-U-C-I-D.
Seleucid. Okay.
I can see that. All right. So the next kingdom, the Bronze Kingdom, is Greece, and then Greece breaks off into the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. They're Grecian, all of these things. Mm-hmm. This is where you get some people, you've heard of this guy, Antiochus Epiphanes. There's a lot of stuff, and then you read in Daniel, later in Daniel, there's a lot of things that go on. There's marriages that are made to keep the kingdoms together. There's war. I was reading in Maccabees, the 1 and 2 Maccabees, about the history of this stuff. And there's stuff like they married this woman to another man who was married to somebody else. It's soap opera-like stuff. And he divorced his wife to marry this woman, and then her kids came and killed that woman. I mean, it's crazy, the stuff that was going on in these empires. But if you notice, again, each kingdom is more inferior than the previous kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're more inferior, they're also more violent. They're more away from God because one thing that the Greeks did, the whole Greek culture, which will include the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, is even though Israel comes out of exile and returns back to the land under these rules, they're still ruled over by these empires. Now, you're going to have to come to Sunday school to get the whole Israel piece because I'm going to have to add that. And that's what happens when you get the first lesson. You get the first draft on Saturday. So on Sunday, you'll get the bigger picture. So Israel never has a king after this except Herod. And that's later. I'll talk about him later. But Herod's not a Jewish king. Herod's Edomite. So... So Israel never gets another king. So when you don't have a king, you're really not considered so much of a nation, even though they're still a people and they're still a group. So they're ruled by the Greeks, and the Greeks assimilate them even more into Grecian culture. We have no idea how much we are influenced even today by Grecian culture, Greek culture, Greek philosophies. So the Greeks were very much influential on them and into the religious system of Israel as well. During this time, you'll find the rise of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these groups, because the priesthood does not really recover properly after the exile. Because remember, the temple kind of got rebuilt, but it wasn't the same. Anyway, keep going, teacher, because you're bringing in too much information. All right. So, after bronze, question 4, what follows that empire? So we look at chapter 2, verse 40. What comes next?
That would be iron, wouldn't it?
Yes. Iron. So who's the Iron Kingdom? Anybody have any guess who the Iron Kingdom is? Rome. Rome and Greece kind of marry each other, but Rome becomes more dominant. And what is Rome known for? Think of the movies like Ben-Hur and any fiction movie. Violence.
Gladiator.
Gladiators. What did they ride around in?
Chariots.
Horse
and chariots. What did they stab and kill people with?
Swords,
spears, yeah. And what did they perfect that the Assyrians started?
Hanging.
Crucifixion.
They're the masters of crucifixion. Because with impalement, soon as somebody shoves you on a pole, you die. You know, and then they just cut your head off, so you're dead. But crucifixion was meant to last. It could take a couple of days for you to die from crucifixion because it's a slow death. You suffocate while you're hanging.
Oh, wow.
That's why one of the reasons they were shocked that Jesus was dead so quickly. So here comes the Roman Empire. They are violent. They're also very expansive. Have you heard this expression? All roads lead to
Rome.
Because Rome was known for building roads, and they wanted all the roads.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to go to anywhere, you had to come through Rome. Wherever you went, you had to step through Roman territory.
Mm-hmm.
They had massive building projects. They built infrastructures in cities. Rome was an empire. It was great. All right? So, and it took out everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was subject to Rome.
Okay.
Everybody in the known world at that time was subject. All right, so that's our kingdom of iron. So now, from that empire, question 5, what comes from this empire and what's it like? Verse 41.
With iron and clay. Iron and clay.
Okay, so now we get to the feet and the toes, and they made of what?
Iron and clay.
Now, we know iron is hard, right? But does clay really stick to iron well?
No.
What can happen to clay? They don't mix at all. What happens when you've got hard clay?
If it dries out, it's just going to be crushed once you do something to it.
Because
it's powdery and stuff.
Wow. So it's fragile.
Right.
It cracks easily. Crack pot, clay pots. So this mixture, but it's still got that iron attached to it. So it's still just this violence, but it's fragile. So if you think about, have we known any empires like the Roman Empire since?
Yes.
Have we?
Oh.
You say, do we know any empires?
The U.S.
We know empires, but are they like the Roman Empire? Are they as hard and established and everybody has to pass through? No.
No.
No, I don't think anybody's been like Rome.
No, nobody's been like Rome. They were the last. But every empire after that, because there have been empires. She's right. The U.S. is an empire. Russia, China, there are empires all over the place. But they're all fragile. They're violent, but they don't last.
That gives me comfort.
That gives you comfort. It makes me feel good, too, knowing. Because the empire, remember, empire, this is not the will of God. That people dominate other people, that people make other people assimilate. He wants people to be who they are, who he created them to be, so they can flourish and that they can have everything they need, not to be used and subjected and oppressed and enslaved and all of those things. That's not the will of God, that they would be violent and destroy other people just so they can gain some ground or some money or some popularity or bragging rights. It's not a sport. People are not a sport to God. We're his family.
Mm-hmm.
He created us in his image to bear his image in the earth, all humanity. So empire is, so they're fragile. They're not going to last. Anybody that builds himself on this will not last because, hello, let's get into question six so we can finish up because I can keep going and we'll be after 10 o'clock. All right, let's look in what empire was Jesus Christ born in? If somebody go to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Let's all go to Luke chapter 2 and somebody read verses 1 and 2.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria.
All right. So who was born during this time?
Jesus.
Jesus. This is the story of the birth of Jesus. He's born under what empire? Into what empire?
Roman.
The Roman Empire. And who's and I love Luke gives us detail. Who's Caesar at this time?
Augustus.
So he's letting us know that Jesus was born under Roman rule when he came into the earth. All right? Now, what message did Jesus proclaim when he came into his ministry? Still under the Caesars, under Roman rule. Go to Mark chapter 1. We've been over this, but we're going to read it again. And somebody read verses 14 and 15 of Mark chapter 1.
Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached good news, God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last. He announced, the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news.
Mm-hmm.
So what message did Jesus come in and proclaim?
The kingdom of God is
near.
The kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God?
God's rule and reign the way he intended it
from the beginning. That was the message that Jesus came. Remember Daniel in the dream? Remember Daniel in the vision? The Nebuchadnezzar's dream? That the empires of this world would be toppled according to by a stone not made with human hands. And it would crush all empire.
Empires.
Let's see how well you all know your history. What was the real reason the Roman Empire fell? Pastor gonna kill y'all because he went through years and years of church history. What brought the Roman Empire to an end?
The church?
The church. Ultimately, which means that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God through his people on earth, through his son, brought into by his son, is what eventually toppled the Roman Empire. Did Nebuchadnezzar's vision come true?
Yes.
No. Is it still coming true?
Yes.
What was the question?
Did Nebuchadnezzar's vision become true? Did it come to pass?
No,
yes.
Everything got it.
Yes,
it did. Oh, I didn't see it.
Babylon fell. Greece fell.
Oh.
The Ptolemy, Rome fell.
Mm-hmm.
And empires today are still falling.
Well, what was the point you said?
The kingdom of heaven is here. The rock that broke off has entered into the kingdoms of this world and is crushing them. And now you know part of what our mission is. And now we know why one of the reasons why Jesus had to come. So when we say God is in control, can we rest assured with some confidence that God is in control?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
It's not just stories on a page or put together in a book. This is God revealing how the world began, what he intended, and we can already go to the end, how it's going to end. Ultimately, the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, he will reign mm-hmm. over them all. But in the meantime, the kingdom is here. And that's the good
mm-hmm.
news. That's the bigger good news. We got a little piece of the good news about our sins and stuff, but that's only
mm-hmm.
a part of it. The good news is, the kingdom, God's reign and rule, has invaded
mm-hmm.
the earth. And if you've been in
mm-hmm.
Sunday school class, you know that it is invasive. It goes everywhere. It's on every continent in every nation.
Yes.
So, where are we going next? I think I have to take you all through what God intended, what it means for us to flourish, so that when we see that Jesus, when he shows up on the scene, when he shows up, what his ministry is all about on the earth, what he's showing, what he's doing. But in order to do that, I need to connect you with what God intended to what he did. So hopefully this is helpful. If you got any questions, you know how to find me. If you got any more confusion, I will be teaching this again in two more classes because I'm trying to bring all my classes together on the same page so I'm not all over the place. I pray that we all see and that we're not just running around saying statements that God is in control. I pray that we understand and know with assurance our God is in control. Amen? Let us pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revealing yourself to us through your son. And we pray that we grasp and hold on and trust to the fact if you went to this extent to show us what was happening and to bring it to pass, that everything you say you have will do will come to pass. And we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janice, for your loyalty and studying and teaching God's word and just breaking it down to us where we can understand it. You know, we appreciate you. And have a beautiful
day. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So I didn't get to hear the beginning of the lesson, but, you know, the best part about Saturday school is that we can go back and listen to the recorded lesson as many times as we want to until we get it. Just go to the website, RunnersChristMinistries.org, and click on the Saturday Bible study that you want to listen to. And that's the beautiful thing, okay? All right. So anybody that's on, if you're not going to be participating in the next part of your service, then just depress your one so that pastor take you off of the host queue. Okay, and the ones that continue and being part of the next part of services, keep your one pressed. Okay. All right. So you know this is the time to get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets. And Amadea had some pie last week, so if she got a piece of apple pie, you better get that. And after this talk lecture, we will start our morning worship service. See you on the other side of this song.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he stand? I said, send me, Lord. I commit to faithful men sometimes, Lord. I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand. And yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might. Glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Holy, holy, holy. You know, it is raining on both sides of the street, and we just thank God for the rain. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministry, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us to read our proclamation scripture and prayer is our very own sister, Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Kathy. It's always a pleasure to take part of this service. As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm about to read you the proclamation, the scripture, and the prayer for this morning's service. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins, and was raised on the third day in accordance to the scripture, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture for today is coming from Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and it's titled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow will be thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill your Holy Spirit with everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving.
We praise that our songs, prayers, and preach word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your service. We know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you, and you do the same.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
We worship you, O Lord.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yes, we are truly high and lifted up. And Pastor O, you always take us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Rebecca Johnson, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson's pray to the Lord. Amen.
Shoulders down, it's getting too heavy for me. Y'all know I ain't no Hercules. Life moves on, stuff breaks down, people fall off. Gotta find a way to get over. Gotta find a way to get through, break through, heal you. Troubles they last, and as time passed, it's been one thing after the other. Way to go, I feel so alone, life is so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech, I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happened when I pray.
I don't want you to
never too busy for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, wonderful counselor, thank you for your grace and mercy and power. Thank you that you see us and hear us and answer us. Thank you for being the first and the best giver. Thank you that you're interested in our petitions and requests, even though you have provided for our every need. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you continuously. We thank you for improvements to our characters. We thank you for wise counselors, for family, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for Bible classes that give us deep insight into your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned, for good memories, for a way to go to church without going to church. Thank you for praying grandmothers. Thank you for waking us up again. Thank you for new chances to do better. It's true that we fall short daily, that we are all sinners that want more and more of your peace. We ask that you heal our hard-headedness and cause us to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do. We ask for complete healing in the body, mind, and spirit of everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially Darius Freeman. We thank you for the work you're already doing and getting him to the top of the list. Nicole Seabrooks, we thank you for the work you're already doing on her health, and especially for my husband, Ed Johnson, who brought me to this church. We thank you for the work you are already doing on his health and for the progress he has made. We ask for total healing for Doris Gaither Crump, and we ask you to keep Gaston and Naomi Carter inside a hedge of protection and drawn close to you. We ask that you preacher to give a message that speaks to our inner man. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and a new understanding of you. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We say yes to your ways and your plan for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things and that you know us better than ourselves. So the best choice we could make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, for prayer and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Okay.
You do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, listen, I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today and share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay. Time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake, the next voice you will hear following this selection and happy to be back in the saddle is man of God, Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
We don't need another political uprising. We don't need another cock on the sea. But what we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. From the Lord, a word from the Lord.
Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Pastor, you know you're wrong for playing that one just before I preach. Ooh, a word from the Lord. Had me thinking all through the song, do I have the right word, Lord? Lord, Lord, Lord. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministry, Blog Talk Radio. Father God, we just thank you for another day. Father God, we bless and praise your holy name. We thank you for your word. We thank you even more for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. And then, Father God, we can never forget that Jesus died on a cross, was buried, and raised from the dead for each one of us to profess our faith and hope in him. Father God, we thank you for all of it. Father God, now may we live lives to glorify you and make Jesus' death worth it, because that was a great gift and a great sacrifice. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good morning again. Praise the Lord. He woke us up this morning. Praise the Lord. He woke us up this morning. And we should praise him for that alone, if we think there's nothing else to praise him for. But there are so many other things that we went through this week, both seen and unseen. We had no idea. Oh, praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then Pastor O starts off with a couple praise songs, goes to a prayer, and then he comes to the word, my, 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 Pastor O, Pastor O, Pastor O. You know, we love to quote Romans 8:28, New Living Translation says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And we know. So that means it's guaranteed. But one of the things it says causes, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. What is really loving God about? It's doing. And part of the doing is being obedient. And part of obedience is glorifying God for our purpose. And it's because it says, for those of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, for them. So that lets us know that he has a purpose for each and every one of us. Do you know your purpose? Whose purpose are you walking in? And then I'm going away from that scripture because I had a scripture that just tore me up during my weekly devotion of biblical reading. Is it ever okay for Christians to fall out? Ever okay for Christians to fall out? In other words, have disputes, contention, provoked unto anger? Is it ever okay? And what would God say about it? Didn't he command that we love one another? Yes, he did. And I hear some of you, well, I just have to love some from a distance. But Acts 15:36, New Living Translation, says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. They both wanted to check on the new believers, a good thing. Acts 15:37-38, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. Paul and Barnabas had a good working relationship. If not, Barnabas would have never said he wanted to go back. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark, his cousin, another chance, who had left them on their first missionary journey. Abraham, get thee out of that country and from all thy kindred. But he took Lot with him, and there were some problems with Lot. But Abraham and God did not give up on Lot. So going on with this, where I started, verse 38 says, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. My subject, when is Christian parting a good thing? Does God agree, or is it just you and me? Acts 15:39 says, their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways, the message says. Did God speak to Paul or Barnabas in this situation? But the bigger question is, did Paul and Barnabas allow their feelings to block hearing what God was saying? We never read that God agreed with this split. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. We do not read much about their travel. But you know, God used it to spread the gospel in two different directions. What good could come out of this separation? What good? And you know, we live in a time when pastors, preachers, ministers, and whatever the other titles, and members cause church splits. These splits often cause people to go four ways, and sometimes even more. But four, you can pinpoint. Those that stay with that one pastor, preacher, or minister. Those that leave with the other pastor. preaching. Those that go to another church completely separated from the other two. And then those that go home and don't go back to church. Four-way splits. And those that cause those splits are responsible for the hurt and the souls that are involved. Prayerful regarding church splits. If you know of some and know of others, don't gossip about them. Pray for them. Pray that God will allow the Word and the Holy Spirit to heal souls and truly bring them back together. Now, I know some major pastors have started churches and have gone on to do great works for the Lord because they felt called to start a church. They felt called to leave who they were under, and they felt called to go in some other directions that the church they were in were going. And that's a good thing. But there's many that do it for the wrong reasons. Souls are reached and saved either way. The church is a hospital full of people with different opinions, full of people with sickness, which is sin, that need to grow spiritually. Many Christians do not pray or seek God before joining a church. Some go because they know somebody there. Some go there because family members are there. But how many pray and seek God on where they should be so they don't cause confusion, hurt, pain, and God forbid, a split in the ministry? People form cliques in the church, sadly, and are not open to new members, ideas, to making any changes. And how many know? Sometimes God sends us just what we need in a person that has not been there. Remember, people form cliques in church and are not open to new members, ideas, or changes. This is the way we've always done it, a damaging statement. We've tried that before. Well, why didn't it work? Was it timing? Was it with the proper people in place? I don't know. But these and other reasons result in church hurt. Everybody in church has not matured. Let me say that again. Everybody in church has not matured and or stopped thinking everything is about them and them only, when it should be about Jesus and discipleship, winning souls. Amen. We know that Paul was serious about arresting and putting Christians to death. Paul was just as serious about winning souls to Christ after his Damascus Road experience. Acts 15, 40-41, Paul chose Silas, and he left. The believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. How important would Silas be to Paul later? Think about that. Question, how important would Silas be to Paul later? 41, then he traveled through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches there. Paul's second missionary journey with Silas, Paul and Silas went to Derbe and Lystra. They met Timothy, a young disciple. Timothy's mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to join them, so he circumcised Timothy. And I have the question why. But I also know that Paul and Barnabas had went to Jerusalem and fought against the people that had come into their various congregations telling Greek believers that they must be circumcised. And they went to Jerusalem, met with the apostles, and came back with what these Greek believers had to do, and circumcision was not part of it. That was in chapter 6:15. Now, Paul and Silas were continuing to teach and strengthen. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. Verse 5, a call from Macedonia. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia, Galatia, and because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Key, Paul and Silas was hearing from God, the Holy Spirit. Then they headed to Mysia, Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus stopped them. So they had to hear again. Then they went through Mycenae to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece pleading, come to Macedonia and help us. So they heard twice from the Holy Spirit not where to go. And then Paul was given a vision of a man pleading to come to Macedonia. Look at God. How important is it to hear the Holy Spirit and be open to dreams and visions? So they left from Macedonia at once, knowing that God was calling them to preach the good news there. They sailed from Troas through several cities and ended up in Philippi, a major city, and stayed several days. On the Sabbath, they went to the riverbank and found women gathered there. Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, worshiped and believed in God. Lydia's heart was open. She accepted Paul's teaching and was baptized with members of her household. And she said, if you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. So not only were they saved, Lydia and her household, but now she was being benevolent and having them come to her home. Paul and Silas were on their way to pray one day, and they met a demon-possessed girl, a fortune teller. Acts 6:16-17, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to. This went on day after day until Paul had had enough. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly, this foul spirit left her. Her master's hope of wealth was shattered. Their hopes of their profits were shattered. So what did they do? They had Paul and Silas arrested. They had Paul and Silas arrested. Lord, have mercy. And you know, everywhere that Paul went, there was always some Jewish people. There was causing problems and having an uproar in the city. But that wasn't every Jew, because Jews and Greeks believed. And then with this, once Paul demanded that the demon come out of her, her master's hopes her wealth was shattered. They dragged Paul and Silas before the authorities. And then they said, they are teaching customs that are for Romans, they are teaching customs that are wrong for Romans to practice. Saying that, the officials immediately ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped and beaten. The jailer put them in the inner dungeon, where their feet, with their feet in the stocks. So this wasn't just no, they just wasn't in jail in a good condition. They were in an inner dungeon with their feet in stocks. And when their feet were in stocks, I remember from teaching and preaching on this before, they were put in a position where it was not comfortable with their feet in those stocks. So they wasn't standing up praising the Lord, as many would think. But then, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Now, I don't know. I can't say for sure. What if Paul and only John Mark had been arrested and Barnabas wasn't arrested? Would he have been singing, praising God or not? That's something to think about. I don't know. I don't know why I even said that. But I don't know. But around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. There was a massive earthquake. The foundations of the prison was shaken. But that wasn't all. All the doors were open, and the chains fell off of each prisoner. Look at God. The jailer woke up, found all the doors open, thinking the prisoners had escaped. He drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." Now, how many prisoners, when their chains fell off, wouldn't have tried to run up out of that prison? I don't know how that prison was built. I don't know how it was made. But if all the doors was open, all the chains fell off, don't you think somebody would have left? But Paul shouted, "We are all here." The jailer called for lights, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He took them out asking, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they responded, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." They didn't just say he would be saved, but believe in Jesus, and everyone in his household would be saved. At that late hour, because remember now, it was around midnight, the midnight when he came in. At that late hour, the jailer washed their wounds. Then he and all his household was baptized. Oh, praise the Lord. Then all rejoiced because they all believed in God. The jailer fed Paul and Silas. That was something that was not his responsibility at that day and time. People had to bring food to people that were in jail. But he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved along with everyone in your household." God has put on our hearts to go and make disciples. He's put it in our word. He's commanded in the word to go and make disciples. Here, they have baptized Lydia and this jailer, and then said, not only them, but all their household will be saved. Some of us are still praying today for people in our households, people in our families, that they will be saved. So where are we missing it? We need to get serious about saving souls, church. The next morning, officials sent word, "Let those men go." The city officials had said, our jailer told Paul and Silas, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." I like the boldness of Paul's answer. Acts 16:37 says, "But Paul replied, they have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." The police reported that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. The officials were shocked and scared. They apologized to both Paul and Silas and then begged them to leave the city. Paul and Silas left the prison, went to Lydia's house, encouraged the believers, and then left town. Paul saw a man from Macedonia. Was it the jailer? We don't know. Paul and Silas went to many cities to preach and teach, and will preach to preach and teach the truth. Everywhere they went, Jews and Gentiles believed. However, there were Jews that caused trouble and told lies, putting their lives in jeopardy everywhere they preached and taught. The believers sent Paul to the coast while Silas and Timothy stayed there after another uprising. Silas and Timothy were encouraged to hurry and join Paul in Athens later. When Paul left Athens, he traveled to Corinth and met Priscilla and Aquila. Acts 18:3, Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers. And each Sabbath, Paul was found in the synagogues, trying to convince Jews and Greeks alike. Once Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. Being opposed by some of the Jews, Paul shook the dust from his clothes. In verse 6, he said, "Your blood is upon your head. I am innocent. From now on, I will go preach to the Gentiles." Paul went to the home of Titus Justus, a Gentile who worshiped God and lived next door to the synagogue. Acts 18:8-9, New Living Translation says, "Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his household believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul, became believers, and were baptized. Another man in his household saved Crispus, the leader of the synagogue. But not only him, it said, many others in Corinth also heard Paul and became believers and were baptized. One night, verse 9, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you. For many people in this city belong to me. Verse 11, so Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. We know this to be a powerful statement of faith. We encourage others often when people have fought different fights of life. And many times this is a scripture that's used at funerals. But we have to look at all that Paul went through and what he said. But then in verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. And remember, Paul had to go on to Rome after that. He did not mention Barnabas. There's a lot of speculation out there as to whether or not Paul and Barnabas ever reconciled. But we do know all the glorious things that Paul did through Timothy, Priscilla, and Aquila, Lydia, the jailer, and others. Mark, make Mark welcome if he comes your way, Colossians 4:10c. And to us, try to do things God's way, in his purpose and plan. And when we mess up, God is not caught by surprise. He has a plan in spite of man, but we still have a responsibility to try to love and do things in God's purpose, his plan, and his way. But we know that all things work together for the good, for them that are the called and that love God are according to his purpose. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother.
Excuse me. Amen. What an awesome, awesome word, Cardinal. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you for the word. I love what you just said.
Lord Jesus.
Look,
Lord.
I
all right,
a long
preacher.
Time ago. You know I promoted you a long time ago. Amen.
Lord
you
Jesus.
Just,
we're just waiting on you to respond to your calling, preacher.
I know. I almost got, Pastor, almost put my signature on some papers last week, but then I used the word possible, and then that just kind of took me out of the running. So that was actually perfect. So I got to be mindful of the words that I use before I mess around and be in the pulpit in real life. Amen.
You can run, but you can't hide. That's all I'm going to say. You can run, but don't end up being Jonah, and I'll leave it at that. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know exactly what you're saying. Amen. And you just saying something that was just so, it just stuck with me real quick where you said God has a plan in spite of man. That is awesome. That just says right there, God is sovereign, ultimate, and he has a plan for all of us, and no matter how people get in our way, and no matter even how we get in our own way, God's plan is still going to prevail. That was an awesome word. We are so grateful. We are so thankful. We are continuing to keep you and your wife and your family lifted up in prayer. We are so happy to have heard your voice. We thank God for you and the time that you took today, and we do pray that you continue to have a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen. Thank you so much. So good morning, everybody. It's Saturday. It's the third Saturday in July, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, the third Saturday already, July 15th. Yeah, time is marching. Amen. But God is good, and we're so thankful. So just by way of some announcements, tomorrow, Sunday, July 16th, we will have our school class beginning at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. And continuing on, we will have our praise team leading us in songs as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. Pastor O will be bringing the word, so come on out and enjoy worship service with us again, River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Amen. Please be reminded that every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Don't forget also that every Wednesday at 6 p.m., our new Bible class is in full swing and, again, has transitioned from Monday to Wednesday. So now nothing on Monday, just on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. A textbook is required for this class. So if you plan to be in attendance, the books are available. Just visit our church website, rfcm.org. Click the Bible classes to purchase the books. And please read the assignments before the class, and the questions that are discussed are at the end of each chapter. Sister Keila Freeman will be teaching this week, so make sure you tune in. And then please don't forget that every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, so make sure to join in and comment on the discussions that are happening about our children. Remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and best of all, they are free. But also, do not forget to check the church website. Again, rfcm.org. Share it with others. Use it for yourself as you need it. There's classes. Again, all of our services, all of the services, everything that we have done in conjunction with Pastor O, and even when Pastor O was on here, I've said it before, I've said it multiple times, when Pastor O was on here and it was just him and he was doing what the Bible says and there was no one else, and it was every single day for a very, very, very long time, for years before we came alongside him. And now at this point, we can go all service and hear Pastor O at the end. And so that just allows Pastor O to do what Pastor O does, which is to pastor and do other things that doesn't have him always on the front line, because his plate is always full. So you can hear everything that's been done on Blog Talk Radio since, I believe, 2009 and come all the way up until today. Again, classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more are all available for free on our church website, rfcm.org. Again, use it for yourself and definitely make sure to share it with others. You never know who you're blessing or what seeds you might be planting or coming through and watering by sharing our church website with others. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Just click on Tithes and Offerings tab. And if you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the word to us today, you're more than welcome to do that on the church website. Again, just click on the Tithes and Offerings tab. And just remember to specify Elder Joseph Stevens' name with your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Amen. Just when you think about how every tear will be wiped from our eyes and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, that just seems like that's all that's going on in the world. And like Pastor always said before, you know, for us to not pray for God to fix this, because he's not going to fix this. This is not our home. We're just passing through. We are citizens of heaven. Amen. And so we have a job to do while we're here. Yes, we're in physical bodies, and yes, real life happens. It happened to Jesus. Jesus said, "In this life, you shall have trials and tribulations, but don't worry about it. I'm an overcomer. I overcame it. You're an overcomer. You can overcome it as well." Amen. So when things get hard and it's just, you feel like you're just backed into a corner, just trust God, because as Elder Joseph Stevens says, God has a plan in man. Amen. Amen. So we just ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please pray for Doris Gaither, who was in Applewood Nursing Home. Please pray for Mother Persia. She was in Wyandotte Hospital. She's now at home, but still, of course, needs prayer. Pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, and again, of course, Mother Persia. Pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook as she takes her radiation treatment, Nico Gaston, our favorite president, President Sharon Abraham, Darius Freeman and his mom, Keela, who will be having surgery next month, Ed Johnson and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his wife, Cheryl, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, all the caregivers, nurses, doctors, and those that serve in the medical field. I know it seems kind of early to talk about teachers and staff and students as they prepare for another school season, but here in Michigan, our kids don't go back to school until the day after Labor Day. But kids down in Texas and in Georgia and in other parts of the United States get out earlier, so their kids are actually going to be going back to school within the next couple of weeks. So we do ask for prayers for all the teachers and staff and students and parents as everyone is preparing and gearing up for another school season. Amen. Continue to pray for all the leaders of our community, from local to Washington and everybody in between. Amen. Continue to pray for our president, our vice president, and all of those who have the rule over us. And also continue to pray for all those who are mourning and grieving the loss of friends and loved ones. Amen. happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon celebrated on the 1st, Clifton Davis on the 2nd, Hunter on the 4th, Malachi Freeman on the 8th, yours truly and my birthday buddy Logan, we celebrated this past Wednesday on the 12th. DeAndra and Isaiah celebrated yesterday on the 14th. Our favorite vice president, Beatrice Cowan, as well as Ryan, will be celebrating on the 16th. Baby Gia, she's going to be turning one. Her birthday's on the 18th. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks on the 19th. And Deaconess Lisa Thornton will be closing us out on the 21st. Had a month full of birthdays. Amen. Happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. And so last but not least is your devotional for today. I picked a different one today. Well, I didn't pick it. I felt like I was led by the Holy Spirit to read a different one. Because a lot's going on, okay, for everyone, everywhere, okay? So I'm going to read you a devotional that's entitled, What to Do When It Doesn't Make Sense, okay? And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. I've read you guys his devotionals before. I love them. Of course, I still get them. I tend to do Pastor Jeff Shreve's devotionals because they're a little different. But this one, I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to read this one because a lot of things are going on in the world. And we see things, we see the news, we see all types of stuff, and it just doesn't make sense. And we're like, okay, that doesn't make sense. And then we try to make it make sense to us, because if it doesn't make sense to us, it doesn't make sense. But literally, some stuff just doesn't make sense. So this devotional, again, is entitled, What to Do When It Doesn't Make Sense. And it is by Pastor Rick Warren. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop. You ask. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. And this is Job chapter 42, verses 2 and 3, and then verse 6. Instead of asking God why, you need to learn to trust God in things you don't understand. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, Job asks the why questions. Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this? Why so much pain? Why so much discomfort? Why haven't you answered my prayers? And just as a little sidebar, I know every single person has asked God why. Why this? Why that? Because it doesn't make sense. Amen. So in chapter 38, Job stops asking why, and God says, I have some questions for you. Job chapter 38, verse 3. And for the next two chapters, God barrages Job with questions that only God can answer. He asks things like, where were you when I made the universe? Can you explain the law of gravity? And after two chapters, Job realizes that he is just a man, and his knowledge is limited. Who is he to question God? Now, I've always said, you can ask God questions, but you can't question God. That's like your children. You want your children to come to you and talk to you and be inquisitive and ask you questions, but what you don't want them to do is to question your authority. That's the difference between asking God questions and questioning God. Amen? So Job stops questioning, and he starts trusting. He replies to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. And again, that's Job chapter 42, verses 2 and 3, and also verse 6. What do you do in a situation where you can't see the whole picture, things aren't clear, and what's happening make no sense to you? You remind yourself of the things you know about God. Even in the middle of his doubt, Job affirmed what he knew to be true about God. God is loving. That's chapter 10, verse 12. God is all-powerful. That's Job chapter 36, verse 22. God is in control. That's chapter 34, verse 13. God had a plan for Job's life. That's chapter 23, verse 14. And God will protect Job. And that's chapter 5, verse 11. God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail that you're going through right now. He's paying attention to your every breath. God doesn't miss anything. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through, but you need to say this to God. I know you're good. I know you're powerful. I know you see the details of my life. I know you're in control and you have a plan. Then you need to trust God no matter what. Whatever you're going through, tell God exactly how you feel. He can handle it. Then stop asking why and start trusting God for the things you don't understand. Lord, have mercy. That's why what Elder Joseph Stevens said when he said God has a plan in spite of man, and I was like, Lord, he is all up in my devotional. But everything ties together, and everything works for our good. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen and amen. Those are your anyway.
Amen.
Crystal, thank
and
you. Appreciate
possibly.
It.
You're
it's
welcome.
Good to hear the, it's good to hear the preacher's voice, you know, and
yes.
that is an awesome word. You know, it started out with asking the question, do we really believe Romans 8:28 when we say all things work together for the good? And is there
mm-hmm.
any time, a good time for Christians to fall out with each other? And finally,
mm-hmm.
when is Christian parting a good thing? And the way he asked those questions, and then he showed and demonstrated that all things do work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, because sometimes we do fall out. But just because we
mm-hmm.
fell out don't mean God's through with us, and it don't mean
mm-hmm.
Something good can't come from it, because if 8:28 is real, there's something good
mm-hmm.
got to come from it. If you
Amen.
Study out Barnabas and his nephew Mark, you'll see later on that Paul said, send Mark to me because he's profitable to me. So they fixed that thing. They made it up. Mark got his courage together. He got some spiritual maturity going, and they fixed that thing up. And like
mm-hmm.
he said, with Barnabas, though, we don't have a clear word from history or from the word. And so we just don't know, but we kind of believe they did, because Mark got back, Barney got back, right? but look at the good that came from it. If you really follow Barnabas, they went back to Cyprus, and they more than likely carried the word with them there. So they went that way. And then Paul went on to the second missionary journey, which went to Macedonia. We know all about that, following up to the third missionary journey, all the way to Rome. So a lot of good. When is Christian parting a good thing? Amen. Whenever it happens, because God can fix it.
Amen. Amen. That's
anyway.
So many sermons. Amen.
That's some good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Even though we mess it all up, because Lord knows
mm-hmm.
we do. Okay? We
do.
Mess it all up.
Every
and
day.
He,
mm-hmm.
Abraham and Lot. You know how that thing
mm-hmm.
worked out. And it was much
mm-hmm.
better
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
if you look at when Lot left, then God came back and said some stuff to Abraham, and that stuff he
mm-hmm.
didn't say until after Lot left, who he was supposed to leave
mm-hmm.
behind in the first place. But I ain't going to preach
mm-hmm.
no more.
Amen.
Elder, like, wait a minute. She preaches, he preaches, I'm preaching. We
Everybody
all preach. Rebecca preaching, Kathy preaching,
okay.
Janice preaching.
Okay. I'm telling you.
Amen.
Day.
Lolo preaching with the word. Amen.
Hello.
It's been a preachy Saturday, right?
For real.
Everybody getting it in. I'm getting mine in. Everybody getting theirs in. I'm getting mine in. That's right. Hell, leave me out here. I'm getting my word in, too. Anyway,
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. We done all
You're
preached
welcome.
Our sermon today. We good.
For real. Yes, right. That's right.
Hey, man, it's all Elder Stevens' fault, though, because he's the one, you know, him and Rebecca
yep.
and Lolo
all
and Kathy.
Everybody
Dennis.
Before me.
Yeah,
all
it's
their
all
fault.
Their
Everybody.
Fault. It's all their
all
fault.
All theirs. Amen.
But we forgive
we
them because we're good Christians.
We
like
forgive
that.
Them.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
We forgive
That's
them.
Right.
They fired us up like this and got yep. us like this. So we forgive them.
Amen. We do.
Amen. Good.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. Had a wonderful day. Tell Mira I say what's up.
Good morning, Elder.
I shall. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We thank you all for tuning in today. Keep those in prayer who was mentioned. Amen. Keep them up. Hold them up to God and cause healings to come down from heaven. That's what we can do. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, ain't nobody sick. If we want it to be that way here on earth, then call it from heaven to earth, because that's where nobody's sick, and let some of that come down here and get rid of all this sickness and disease that we got going on in this world. Jesus said when they, as many as they brought unto him, they healed them all. He that was born of four was let down in front of Jesus, and he healed him. So let's take folks, amen, to the Lord, and then leave it to the Lord to see what he's going to do. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Let us give you this benediction and move on with the rest of our day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till we all meet again, the whole church said, amen.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength. Lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say amen.